grace to you in peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. We had this text a few weeks ago, this baptism of Jesus. And the story in Mark is a little different. The Gospel of Mark proceeds with an almost breathless quality about it. Over and over, and immediately this happened and this happened. And already in the first chapter of Mark, in the 9th verse, Jesus is baptized by John. And we have this wonderful scene in which Jesus comes up out of the water. And then with these violent words, and they really are violent words, the heavens were torn apart, it says in Mark. Torn apart. The same word that will be used at the end of Jesus' life when the curtain of the temple is torn apart. The heavens are torn apart, and the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And a voice says, and we hear this time and time again, "You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased." In our Bible study class, our folks noticed something that all these years I'd never noticed before. We do this kind of cool exercise as we read through the gospel. I wonder, and I noticed, we did this with Shauna Hannon, and one of them said, "I noticed that the Spirit never left Jesus. It never left." So I was stuck all week with this vision of Jesus walking around with a bird on his head for the rest of his life. But keep that in mind. The Spirit descends on Jesus and stays. And then again in this immediacy of Mark, he is driven out into the wilderness. Not led or cajoled. It wasn't just a mild suggestion. It says in the text that he was literally driven, thrown out into the wilderness, like you drive sheep ahead of you over a cliff. Jesus is driven out to the wilderness for 40 days. But he was not alone. We usually associate the wilderness with exile and death and loneliness. But it says that the angels waited on him and he was with the wild beasts. Had you ever noticed that before? And then again, in this breathless quality of Mark, 40 days goes away like that, and suddenly in this same text, in three small paragraphs at the beginning of Mark, Jesus, after John is arrested, comes out, and this is where we need to spend our time. He comes out from the wilderness proclaiming the good news. The good news of God. And he says, "The time is fulfilled. And the dominion of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." When we go into the wilderness, and I don't know about you, on Wednesday was Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day. And I did what I usually do, and I prepared the ashes, and I got everything ready to go. And then I went home and had lunch, and then came back and worked a while, went home, ate my dinner, we had the service. It wasn't until the next morning that I turned on the news. I had no idea that 17 people had been killed in yet another mass shooting. And I thought to myself, I would have preached something altogether different Wednesday night had I known. It felt to me and to many people like we had been driven again into the wilderness. One that in some ways is becoming all too familiar. And in that wilderness, 17 people died. And in this wilderness that has come time and time and time again, at the Pulse nightclub in Las Vegas, Sandy Hook, the litany is growing too long even to name. We stand in the wilderness where death seems to reign. And not unexpectedly, in the very first newscast and the second interview that I saw, the first words out of one of our politicians' mouths was, "This is not the time. This is not the time to talk about gun control. This is not the time. This is the time to pray and to think and to do all of those things, all which are laudable goals. But this is not the time." The first thing that Jesus says after he comes out from the wilderness is, "The time is fulfilled." And it's not ordinary time. The word is not chronos, which we get chronometer and, you know, ordinary marching time one after another. The word is kairos. It's a special word that talks about God's inbreaking into regular time. It's a marked time, a remarkable time. Something amazing and different is happening, Jesus said. And that time is not just beginning. It's not something that we can look for down the road a little bit. It's not something that we're waiting for. Jesus says the time is fulfilled. It is now. God's promise to us in the wilderness. The kingdom of God is come near. Those words rang in my ears as the politicians and the pundits said, "You know, this is not the time." And I kept thinking to myself, if this is not the time, for God's sake, when will the time be? When will it be Kairos time for us? And then I saw it. I was surprised. It happened this morning when 5 young people from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School went on national TV and they said, "We have had enough. We've had enough." And one young man looked into the camera and he said, "You know, for too long politicians have decided that it is our job to serve them. But it is their job to serve us. And they need to start now." And another young man looked in the camera and he said, "We are dying here. We are dying. Won't you do something?" And another young lady said, "If you will do nothing, we will do something. And we are going to gather a march of children, of young people and young adults, and we are going to go." I loved it. She said, "We're going to march in March." Was awesome. "We're going to march and march, and we're going to go to Washington, and we're going to demand the right to live." Kairos time. How sad is it that we live in a world today where our young people have to do active shooter drills? You oldsters among, do you remember when we used to do the nuclear drills, right? Duck and cover. That was awesome. When I was in high school, I took a class called Bible as Literature. Back then, you could do that. And in the Bible and Literature class at Huntington, at Edison High School in Huntington Beach, my teacher, was reading from the Bible as Literature. Trust me. And he was reading along, and the alarm went off for the drill. And he said, "Okay, everybody, duck and cover." And without stopping, he reached and he picked up a chair and he held it over his head. And he just continued to read. And when the bell was finished, he turned around and he put it back down again. It was so funny that some 40 some odd years later, I still remember it. But there is nothing funny about our kids leaving every day in fear. That's our wilderness. It's the wilderness into which we have driven our children and our grandchildren. And there is no doubt in my mind that our prayers and our hope and our empathy are helpful. Every time I read on Facebook, I'm so sick of it. Every time I read someone saying, "Well, I'm sick of you saying you're just going to pray for people." Because I think to myself, you know, this is God's promise to be with us. "Well, what difference does that make?" they say. And I think to myself, you know, in my work, and as I've been with you people at your most difficult and rending times, sometimes the best thing we can do is absolutely nothing but be with one another. I remember being with a widow as a young pastor, and honestly, it was totally accidental. I had no idea that there was a name for it, the ministry of presence. I just thought of it, the ministry of ineptitude. But she told me afterwards, just sitting with me made all the difference. And it does for us as well in the midst of our wilderness, but we cannot stop there. This is a Kairos time. Every time we hear a politician or a pundit say, "This is not the time," perhaps we'd be shouting, "Of course it's the time." And mean it when we say, "For God's sake, it is now the time." Our young people are rising up out of fear and desire for the promise of a covenant of their own safety. God promised Noah and his ancestors, "I will never again flood the world and kill all of you." And I wonder if we will make the same promise to our children, that we will do what is needed to make sure that not one more person dies at the hand of a gun. If this is not the time, when will it be time? How many more will die? How many more days will we sit together in sorrow and tears? I don't know about you, but I want my children and my grandchildren and their children to grow up in a world where they do not have to worry about someone with an AR-15 walking into their school and killing them. For me, it is a matter of faith that we take hold of this Kairos time and demand from those who are in power, or at least pretend to be, to change what can be changed. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is in our core and at our heart, and his promise lives in and through every one of you. And that the kingdom of God, that Kairos time indeed, is being fulfilled through you, through young children who in March will march. I hope that we are with them. And I hope that our voices will stand strong and loud as we proclaim that the time is fulfilled and the dominion of God has come near. Amen.